Today, on this day of Sri Krishna Janmashtami, on the appearance day of Lord Krishna, we spend our day hearing, chanting, and remembering about Krishna. And I was thinking, sometimes people ask about chanting Hare Krishna, and they're asking the question that how can I chant with more taste? How can I chant more attentively? Right. And the reason why we chant without taste or without being attentive is because we are chanting without remembering. We're basically not remembering Krishna. When we remember Krishna, the more we remember Krishna, the more naturally we will be inclined to chant. Srimati Radharani was churning the yogurt and trying to make butter. And she was remembering Krishna. And as she was churning and remembering Krishna, then she chanted automatically. Then she got worried because she thought, oh, what if people hear? And then she stopped chanting. So it is this remembrance of Krishna that is really what is lacking. When we are not feeling inspired somehow or other to chant the holy name, simply because we're not remembering Krishna. So today, our objective is to remember Krishna. And somehow or other, it doesn't matter where we begin. Yes. It is the day of His appearance. It is the day of His presence. Today, the same constellation is there, the same titi, and therefore the auspiciousness. Not everything is like it was when Krishna was here, because although Krishna appeared on the Ashtami, on the eighth day, at that time there was a full moon. Because Krishna has appeared in the Soma Vamsa, or in the dynasty of the moon. So therefore, since the Lord appeared in that dynasty of the moon wanted to offer special service and decided to become full on that day of Janmashtami, the eighth day, not supposed to be full. But of course, when Krishna appears, He is Sadaisvarya Purna. He is full of all opulence. So that's another reason why the moon appeared in full, to indicate that for Krishna, nothing less but everything would do. In the Nectar of Devotion, we find a description of the qualities of Krishna. And these qualities of Krishna, it says that He has very beautiful bodily feature. Any comparison of the different parts of the Lord's body to different material objects cannot factually be a complete comparison. Ordinary persons who cannot understand how exalted are the bodily features of the Lord are simply given a chance to understand by a material comparison. It is said that Krishna's face is as beautiful as the moon. His thighs are as powerful, just like the trunks of elephants. His arms are just like two pillars. His palms are extended like lotus flower. And His chest is like a doorway. His hips are dense, and the middle of His body is a terrace. So, visualizing Krishna, to try and see what He actually looks like. A face like the moon, round and effulgent. So, of course, Krishna's effulgence is is an important feature of his being. Therefore, in some scriptures, we find Krishna, rather than being black, is described as white. It is due to the effulgence. The effulgence is so bright that sometimes one could even think of Krishna as white. Although, he is, of course, he has a blackish, bluish body. Prabhupada said like that when he was in Africa. He said, yes, God is black and his girlfriend is white. He said, but he's not black like you. No. Because he is effulgent. He is effulgent. Krishna's effulgence is lighting up everything. It's lighting up the entire universe. It is lighting up the sky. The fact that the sky is blue is because of Krishna's effulgence. The fact that the sun shines is because of Krishna's effulgence. The fact that even there are electric bulbs, also they derive their power from Krishna's effulgence. It is all part of Krishna's effulgence. But Krishna's effulgence cannot be seen nor only in terms of light. Krishna's effulgence is also to be seen in terms of his mercy. In terms of his transcendental potency. When that mercy touches the living beings, the living beings become transformed. By hearing about Krishna, by being touched by Krishna, by his effulgence, somehow or other, we become transformed. And immediately empowered. Empowered. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that empowerment means that one is empowered with knowledge and with happiness. These two things. Chit and Anant. Later also with eternity. So in this way, we are entering into Krishna's pastimes. In this world, Krishna is a child. Said in this world, his beauty, he's showing also beauty as a child. It is said that in his belly there are three ripples. Very beautiful. Said that his child body becomes covered by very fine hair. Very fine. And Krishna is very beautiful in that form of a child. That child form only exists here in this domain, on this planet. When Krishna appeared as a child, that was upon the request of his mother. He wasn't forced to be a child. We always, adults think it's fun to be a child. When you're a child, you can't wait to grow up. Because you're always too small for everything. It's very frustrating, I remember. You're not allowed to do this, too small. You can't do that, you're too small. You can't do anything. Always too small. It's very frustrating. But Krishna, although he was a child, he was not limited like an ordinary child. By no means. When Putana came, and when Putana saw that child, immediately she thought, this child is very powerful. This child is so powerful, this child can destroy the entire universe. Then the child closed its eyes and she said, what nonsense, what am I thinking? And then the child just began to suck the poison she had smeared on her breast, and she was very happy. Now let's see. But then the child took the milk, and then the child sucked out her life air, and then she tried to pull the child off her breast, and it wouldn't work because he held on with his little hands, And he squeezed so hard that it was excruciating. The pain was unbearable. And then, as a result, she couldn't keep her disguise. Oh, Putana had taken that form of a beautiful goddess. That day, all the men were not there because they were paying tax to Kamsa. So the only ones who were in Vrindavan were ladies and old men. But even the old men, when they saw Putana, they were like, whoo! They were just blown out by her beauty. The ladies thought, oh, she must be a goddess, a demigoddess who has come. Oh, yes, she must have come to see Krishna, and therefore they let her enter. And she picked up Krishna, and put him on the breast. But as Krishna sucked out the life air of Putana and held on with his little hands, but very powerful hands, to the breast of Putana and squeezed so hard, she couldn't tolerate it, and she ran. She tried to run away from the child. But of course, he was hanging on her breast, and as this was going on, she could not maintain the disguise, and she became bigger and bigger, and she ran out of Vrindavan. And just on the edge of Vrindavan, she took her full form of 20 kilometers long, and she was rather on the tall side, you could say, a tall lady, who then somehow or other crashed dead in the favorite fruit orchard of Kamsa. So, one demon down. Oh, yes. And Kamsa had arranged for so many demons. Chalo. Anandananda. Sab chalega. Koi muskil. Pranam. Danyavad. Kripa apki. So, yes. And in this way, the first demon that came to Krishna was killed by Krishna in such an expert way. Not only did Krishna kill Putana, she had to be killed by sucking out the life air. What could poison do to him? Poison, he didn't mind the poison. No problem, some poison. But the milk, he cared about the milk, and he promoted Putana. He promoted her to the position of a datri, of a nurse, of who was assisting Mother Yasoda. There are so many. It is said that the cows, we remember that when Krishna took the place of the calves and the cowherd boys, when Lord Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys, that then these calves would run to their cow mothers, and that it was Krishna, and that the mothers were running to the calves, and that they already had new calves, but they wouldn't be interested in these new younger calves. They would just feed the Krishna calf. And in this way, it is said, these cows, they got even a better position than Putana. They also became eternal mothers of Krishna. But they were closer, whereas Putana could do service indirectly. Indirectly. Like getting ready, the bathing water, and setting it all up. But these cows, they became mothers, and they could even personally participate, get close to Krishna, because they served Krishna with love. But how merciful is Krishna? And this mercy of Krishna is the most important. When we speak about the beauty of Krishna, and when we speak about his appearance and his face like a moon, when we speak about his chest like a doorway, a rather broad chest, in other words, when his thighs like trunks of elephants. When we speak about lotus hands, pinkish, For one thing, yes. When we speak about all these things, then we speak about the beauty of Krishna. But unlike Putana, whose beauty is external, right? It's a mask, yes. And it is like that in this world. There was a famous model by the name of Cindy Crawford, right? I mean, some people may know Cindy Crawford. Anyway, she was a famous model, and then they got her to do an advertisement for a beauty cream. And the advertisement was basically saying, even Cindy Crawford doesn't look like Cindy Crawford in the morning. Which was pretty good ad, I think. To the point. That is the nature of beauty in this world. Even the beauty queens, they need to work for it. My mother used to sit in front of the mirror and she had a rubber thing to hit her chin. So, you know, 10 minutes. And she told me, she said, you have to suffer if you want to be beautiful. No. But Krishna did not have to suffer to be beautiful. Oh no. Krishna was beautiful by nature. But his beauty was not external like the beauty of Putana. Krishna's beauty is rather also there internally. Internally. His beauty is in his nature. His beauty is in how he acts. His beauty is ultimately in his heart. Therefore, I was thinking some days ago, the one thing I want to talk about this Janmashtami is about the heart of Krishna. About Krishna, about how he deals with his devotees. I was thinking that would be maybe the most important thing to discuss. So, I've no idea, and I did not think about what I was going to do with it, right? But I thought I'd make a beginning with Putana, because she was the first demon and she attained the spiritual sky. I mean, see Krishna. See his kindness. You know, if someone tries to poison me, I mean, I might probably say, you rat, you know, trying to poison me, right? Oh, for that, you should be cast in hell and suffer for a long time, right? Giving poison to innocent swamis. That is not, you know, no. For you, no blessings. Sorry. I might be inclined to say that. But Krishna was not vindictive at all. There was no sense of revenge. There was no sense of anger in Krishna. Krishna just saying, this poison, that you get in conditioned souls. There is some poison. You know, there are some faults that, you know, we overlook that. We don't care about it. She did service. She offered me milk. She became my mother. She is my mother. She gave me milk. Oh, then she'll be my mother eternally. See Krishna's generosity. See how he doesn't make a big thing out of a small thing, a little poison. You know, okay, you tried to kill me. Anyway, you know, we're not going to make a big thing about something small like that, right? A murder attempt. That's not too serious. Come on, you know. We don't make a big thing about that, is it? You know, But you did service for me. Well, it was accidental. That doesn't matter. It counts. I didn't serve on purpose. It was an accident. There happened to be some milk in that breast. You know what I mean? There's no intention to give any milk at all. No way. No, but it was, you know, really, to be honest, Krishna, it's just an accident. There were a few drops of milk, right? It was all about the poison. Putana, You didn't understand. The poison had nothing to do with it. That was just a temporary thing. Poison is just a temporary thing of the material world, right? But here you offered milk, and that was eternal devotional service. Therefore, Putana, that is what counts. Come, Putana, come. Where are we going? Putana, we're going to the spiritual world. Me? Yes, oh Putana, and we'll adjust your size. So, Putana was perfectly adjusted for the spiritual world and now attained a spiritual body and became an eternal resident of the spiritual sky. How merciful is Krishna? Just see that he somehow or other reciprocated like that and overlooked everything. There are certain characteristics of different limbs which are considered to be very auspicious and are fully present in the body of the Lord. In this connection, one friend of Nanda Maharaj, speaking about Lord Krishna's auspicious bodily symptoms, said, "My dear king, of the cowherds I can find 32 auspicious symptoms on the body of your son. I'm wondering how this boy could have taken his birth in a family of coward men. Generally, when Lord Krishna appears, he does so in a family of Kshatriyas, kings, as did Lord Ramachandra, and sometimes in a family of Brahmanas. But Krishna accepted the role of son to Maharaj Nanda, despite the fact that Nanda belonged to the Vaishya community." How is it? How is this? We find a description in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yes, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita we read that everyone was tiptoeing in the palace. Shh. Krishna is taking rest. Shh. He has a headache. Shh. Then Satyabhama spoke up. And Satyabhama says, "I'm sick and tired of this hypocrisy. I cannot tolerate it any longer." Satyabhama, please, Satyabhama. No, I will not be quiet. I will say the truth. No, Satyabhama, please don't do that. No, I will say it. Everybody knows Krishna doesn't have a headache. Oh, Satyabhama, please don't do it. Oh, everybody knows that Krishna has no headache at all. Everybody knows he is suffering from separation. Satyabhama, now it's too much. Everybody knows that Krishna Everybody knows that Krishna at night, we have heard, he lies there sleeping embraced by his queens, isn't it? Have you heard it too? Yes, I heard it. It's in the Bhagavatam, so it must be true. Krishna is lying at night embraced by his wives, that is there. But then what happens? Then what you don't read in the Bhagavatam. Now, Satyabhama, stop here. Stop right now. No, what you don't hear in the Bhagavatam is that Krishna, while he is sleeping in the arms of his queens, is speaking the names of the gopis. Oh. Satyabhama, you're killing us. Satyabhama. Yes. So, this is the truth. Krishna is suffering from acute separation and what to do about it. He is day and night thinking about Vrindavan. Day and night thinking about Vrindavan. Oh, what to do then? Then Narada Muni, appeared. Okay. And Narada always has a solution. And sure enough, you know, Narada had an idea. And what did Narada come up with this time? Narada, he said that what you do, you just call Vishwakarma. And he's very expert. And you tell him to here in Dwarka make a garden which looks exactly like Vrindavan. And you know, I mean, when Vishwakarma does it, Krishna won't be able to tell the difference. And then you take him there, and then, you know, he'll get over this whole depression of separation that he's going through. And then, yes, you know, great idea, great idea. So they did. And everything was done by Vishwakarma. And Rohini and Balaram, they went there because they are in both Leelas, so they could be present, right? They're in the Dwarka Leela and in the Vrindavan Leela. All the other residents of Dwarka were hiding in the bushes. There, and Vishwakarma had even made an image of Yasoda. Wasn't moving, but she had some container with rice, yogurt mixed with bananas, which he likes. Oh yes, he does. And she was standing there like a statue frozen, but that happened more often. You know, sometimes Yasoda in her ecstasy wasn't able to move. So that was not such an issue. You know, so Krishna, when he saw, he was totally in ecstasy. He was in Vrindavan and he grabbed that rice with the yogurt and the bananas and he was going bananas. He was totally in ecstasy. And as he was there, he saw Balaram and Rohini there and Vrindavan, Vrajabhumi. He was home, finally home in Vrindavan. Oh, Vrindavan, Vrajabhumi. Oh, how long can I be separated from you? He was there. And then, Vrindavan. He was in Vrindavan. And then there was the ocean. That's not the Yamuna. That's not the Yamuna. That's not Vrindavan. They have cheated me. This is not Vrindavan. And then Lord Brahma appeared. He appeared on his swan carrier. Oh yes. And he carried his kamandalu. And Lord Brahma came down. And Lord Brahma started. Paritraya sadunam vinaseya saduskritam dharma samsarpanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Oh, very good. You know Bhagavad Gita. you are very learned. Yes. So, in this way, Lord Brahma was reminding Krishna of the duty of every incarnation of the Lord. Oh, yes. And every incarnation of the Lord, he does that. Annihilating the miscreants, the demons. Oh yes, putana, yes, annihilating them, yes. And then, and then dharma samsnarpanatya, establishing the principles of religion. That is what an incarnation of the Lord is doing. But, wait a minute. Now, we were here reading in the Nectar of Devotion. Generally, when Lord Krishna appears, he does so in a family of Kshatriyas, kings, as did Lord Ramachandra, and sometimes in a family of Brahmanas. But Krishna accepted the role of the son to Maharaj Nanda, despite the fact that Nanda belonged to the Vaishya community. We read that just now. Yes, this time it was different. This time no formality. This time, no, not behavior prescribed by rules as, when you take birth in a royal family, yes, you can't move left, you can't move right. Smile to the people and so on, and you're always, always basically on display. Ah, yes. And you have to know with what fork to eat what preparation. We, an ordinary farmer, just eat with his hands. Krishna was now eating with his hands, eating with the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. And yes, eating in the forest. Now, he could do anything. And the demigods, the demigods knew. Now is a special time. The demigods, this time, did not come on swan carriers. No, they did not come on a swan carrier to remind Krishna, Paritranaya sadhanam vinasya saduskritam, what is your duty? No, this time the demigods came like birds. They took the form of birds and they were eating the crumbs that were left over from the picnic. Because the demigods knew, now it is not about dharma. Now it is not about religious principles. Are you religious? Oh, people, are you religious? Are you believers? Are you religious? Say yes if you are. Are you religious? Yes. Well, I tell you one thing, right? In Vrindavan, they were not religious. They didn't like religion. No, they liked Krishna. And they liked picnicking with Krishna. And nobody cared with what hand they were eating. Any hand was good because it was picnicking with Krishna. It was perfect. There is the right hand and the wrong hand, right? But there is no wrong hand for eating when you eat with Krishna. Every hand is fine. Chalega. No hatsi. Two hands. Yes. In this way, the cowherd boys were spontaneous. The cowherd boys did not think about the rules of religion. The cowherd boys thought simply about the nectar of Krishna. And the demigods knew it. And Lord Brahma left his swan at home. And he himself came in the form of a bird this time. Yes. No flying around on his big bird. No, he himself came as a little bird. Yes. And no one recognized him either. No reception. Usually when Lord Brahma comes, there's at least a reception. But not this time. No reception. He was just eating the crumbs. And he knew with each crumb, I'm getting Vraja Prem. I'm getting that pure love which is never available, which no incarnation is actually giving, but now it is available in the pastimes of Krishna. He knew it. Now the Lord has come himself. Govindam Adipurusham, the Adipurush, the original Supreme Lord. Not any incarnation. No. So many incarnations, like one after the other. And they all come for the same purpose. As our Prabodhananda Saraswati said, he said, what was the point when Lord Varaha lifted the earth from the Garbhodak ocean? What was the point? What was the benefit? He said, what was the point when Lord Ramachandra killed 14,000 Rakshasas? What was the point? It was all paritranaya sadhunam. It was all about annihilating the demons and establishing the principles of dharma, prescribed duty. Oh, Lord Ramachandra, after so much trouble, he finally gets Sita back. And then what does he do? He sends her away. How is it possible? Okay. Then she enters into a fire. Then he takes her back. She proves it. She says, if my chastity has been compromised, then may this fire burn me. She walks into the fire and she comes straight out, unburned, unharmed. All right, he takes her back. But then still there is gossip going on and criticism. And, you know, I'm not like Ramachandra. I will not take you back. You stay the house, the night in the house of another man. And he takes her back after she stayed in the house of another man. But I will not do that. No way. Then he sends Sita away again. The Ramayana is too much. We don't want to read that book anymore. Forget it. No. It is too much, too painful. They cannot tolerate this, right? Oh, Dharma is too much. All devouring Dharma, the all devouring enemy of this world. No, Dharma. No, transcendental. Ah, here is Krishna, Supreme Lord. Yes, he doesn't come to teach the principles of Dharma. He has other things to do, O Lord Brahma. He has no time for Dharma. He has to steal. Oh, yes. Yes. He's busy. Yes. So many things to steal. As a child already, it was there. Oh, yes. As a child, stealing everything, right? Yogurt. Butter. Makkan chor. Oh, yes. Navanita chor. Makkan, very nice, yes. He was stealing. And then feeding it to the monkeys. And when they caught him, Krishna said, "What can I do? They did so much service for me in my previous incarnation. I have to pay them back now. What can I do?" Anyway, so we are seeing how Krishna is coming and completely revealing his identity of the spiritual world. Krishna steals butter and yogurt from the gopis, isn't it? The elderly gopis. He does so. In so many ways, he steals. Even it is said that the gopis had made an arrangement by tying bells to the pots. And Krishna made an arrangement. He said, "Look, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so bells don't ring." And then Krishna, he started to take the yogurt. And all the bells started ringing. So Krishna is complaining, "Hey bells, what you are doing? I told you not to ring." The bells said, "What can we do? When you accept an offering, we have to ring." That's our duty. So, in this way, Krishna somehow or other performed his pastimes, and he stole. And sometimes he got caught. Prabhavati caught him, and she had him, and she carried him along, and dragged him before Yasoda. But on the way, Krishna changed his form. And as Prabhavati said, "Now I have the rascal." And then Yasoda said, "The rascal? You got the rascal? Look who you caught. You caught your own son. Your son is the rascal." And Krishna. And then Prabhavati was totally shocked. She saw her own son. She walked away. On the way back, she was just holding Krishna. And she looked around and he was Krishna again. And then she said, "You rascal, you took the form of my son." He said, "You better be careful. The next time, I'll take the form of your husband." So, that fixed Prabhavati. She never caught him again, right? And then it is said, what did Krishna do when they sometimes caught him stealing yogurt? He would take revenge and he would go past stool and urine in the house of these people. Can you imagine? Here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God Himself. Now the truth comes out. God Himself is passing stool and urine in the house of people who obstruct Him from stealing. Are you sure you're ready to believe all this? It's like kind of... Are you really sure that Krishna is God? I mean, if you had any doubts, you know, now you probably have more. And undoubtedly, because, I mean, let's be frank. Is that divine behavior? Yes, divine behavior is not bound by any rules of mundane morality. Oh, he has to sit there with a serious face, a slight smile, right? He has to bless. He has to, you know, maybe all these things. No. Who says? Natasya karyam karanam savijyate. He can do whatever he likes. He is not bound by any laws, by any rules. He is completely free to do anything and everything that he likes, and whatever he likes is ecstatic. It is the cause of the greatest happiness. Whatever he does is actually enough to capture our mind. Oh, this chanchalam himana Krishna, this restless mind, going here and there and everywhere. Going here and there and everywhere. But that mind, vyavasyatmika buddhir ekaha kuranandana, can become fixed upon Krishna. Why is it so? Because Krishna is the source of all happiness. And that is what interests Krishna, to bring happiness to all. Krishna is in the spiritual world, surrounded by unlimited devotees. It is said that the spiritual world is the tripat vibhuti, the material world, the ekapat vibhuti, one quarter. And it says that one-tenth of the living beings are in the material world. And one-tenth and nine-tenths are in the spiritual world. So it is said. So there are many, many more devotees who are eternally engaged in loving exchanges with Krishna. And never know what is going to happen. We saw Krishna play his flute. We saw peacocks dancing. And peacocks were so happy that Krishna was playing such nice flute, and that therefore they could dance so nice, that they offered him a peacock feather, which is the most valuable thing they have. And that's why Krishna has a peacock feather. Yes, like that. All this is going on in the spiritual world. But here, in the material world, we are separated from Krishna. We have developed desires to be separated from Krishna. And that's difficult. It is difficult because Krishna is everywhere. And everything is Krishna. I mean, all the energy that is existing is Krishna. So how can you be separated from Krishna? It is not possible to be separated from Krishna, even if you want to, because right now you're sitting on Krishna. You're breathing Krishna, right? You're fasting from prasadam, what is also Krishna, right? It's somehow or other Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Then, there's only Krishna's energy, it's only Krishna. So how can we ever be separated from Krishna? It is not possible. Not for a moment can we be separated from Krishna. Therefore, savasya taham rinisanivisto matas mritir gyanam apo anamscha vidarscha sarvir aham eva vidyo vidantakrit vedavit eva taham. Then it said, matas mritir gyanam apo anamscha, from me comes remembrance and forgetfulness. Therefore, Krishna arranged forgetfulness. And here we are, forgetful. Oh, forgetful. Swamiji. Yes. Why have you come to America? To teach you what you have forgotten. Yes. Avritam jnaname tena. It is, the consciousness is now covered. Covered by naham prakasa sarvasa yoga maya samavritaha. Covered by the illusory energy, which is Krishna's energy. And therefore, We don't know Krishna. We only know Maya. Yes, we only know Maya. What can we do? What to do? And Krishna? Krishna is Atmaram. Krishna, what does he need? It's not that Krishna needs anything. Atmarama samuniyo nyagranti apyurukrame. The Atmaramas are self-satisfied. And all the Atmaramas are attracted to Krishna. But Krishna is the original self-satisfied person. He's fully self-satisfied. And then, still, although Krishna is fully self-satisfied, still he's lacking something. Those living entities are in the material world. So Krishna thought about it. What can I do? They are not with me in the spiritual world. How can I carry on with my pastimes without them? Of course, I cannot stop my eternal pastimes. That I will never do. That is not possible. These eternal ecstasies continue. But how can I do without them? Then, let me go. Let me go to the spirit, to the material world. Then, let me appear there. And then, let me somehow or other, give them a taste. Religion, it's not gonna work. I tried so many times. Dharma samstarpanatiha sambhavami yuge. I come again and again every millennium, this incarnation, that incarnation. They're still not religious. No. The demons will never be religious. Then what do I do? Then all I can do is give them a taste. This time I will not come to teach religion. This time I will come to give them a taste by performing extraordinary transcendental pastimes. And so Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma in the 7th Manvantar in the 28th millennium. And then Krishna appears to give us a taste. And how can you not have taste? Oh yes, that putana, that witch, you know. I mean, 20 kilometers is impressive. Oh, no, let's be frank. And her little brother was Agasura. He was only 12 kilometers long. Yes. But, you know, when Agasura opened his mouth, it was about twice the height of the world twin trade towers, the ones that got knocked down in New York. Yeah. Twice the height of that when Agasura had his mouth open. So little brother was also rather on the big side. Yes. You know, I mean, and Krishna just finished him off like that. Oh yes. Sakatasura was the cart demon. Now there was this cart. This cart was not an ordinary cart. That cart was used for special occasions. It was not just some farmer's cart. No, it was a beautiful cart. Very nicely decorated, this cart. They were using it for processions. And somehow or other, Krishna was put under that cart because it was really hot. Extremely hot. One demon, tricky demon, was thinking, you know what? I just enter into this cart. And then Krishna will never know what happened. He's sleeping now. He's sleeping under this cart. And the demon entered into the cart, and it was a very heavy cart. And then Krishna just kicked his legs a little bit as a baby does, and bang, one little leg hit the cart, and the cart just flew and bang, fell on its side, and everyone was amazed. Oh yes. So, just these pastimes of Krishna, it's all we have to do. When we feel, I have no taste for chanting, I have no desire to chant, right? 16 rounds. It takes such a long time, and it is so boring. Because we have no remembrance of Krishna. But it is so easy, because those pastimes of Krishna are so filled with ras, with taste and all these things and excitement. Not boring at all. Oh my God, Putana, what's she going to do now? Ooh, all the men are gone. Who will protect Krishna? The old men, oh, they are looking at Putana. What's going to happen now? He's only 3 months old. No problem. This child can kill the entire universe if he so desires. And more than that, actually, Putana, if you really want to know, he comes in as to Jagat. Just with a spark of my splendor, I pervade the entire universe. Putana, you haven't read your Bhagavad Gita, right? Some demons read the Bhagavad Gita, though. Sai Baba read the Bhagavad Gita of Prabhupada because he was quoting it verbatim. It was real. I mean, the BBT should look at that. You know, I recognized whole portions. Yeah, I looked at it. Well, anyhow, so in this way we can appreciate the appearance of Krishna. And what an amazing thing it is. No incarnation of the Lord is doing that. They give religion. Good luck. Are you religious? Yes. Everybody who is religious say yes. And everybody who is not religious say no. 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 No, we are not religious. We are attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. Simply that. We are attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. And that attraction and that remembrance of the pastimes of Krishna, that will give us the strength to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Ram Hare, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments?
Twice you said that we don't have taste because we don't remember pastimes. Sometimes we hear that we should just chant and hear the name. Should we have a thing? Try to remember the pastimes. Or we should wait until they just hear the vibration.
So I said that we are not having taste for chanting because we don't remember Krishna's pastimes. Should we just maybe actively think of pastimes so that we get some more taste, or should we wait till these pastimes appear automatically? We should just get absorbed in Krishna's qualities, in Krishna's pastimes, in Krishna's nature, in realizing the kindness of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna, until we become captured by it. Only when it captures us, then we will chant with taste. If we do it as an exercise, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh my God, what a boring thing. And then Krishna goes to the forest, and he goes with the calves and cowherd boys. Okay, it feels a little better. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram Ram. It's 2 rounds done. Oh God, 14 more to go. All right, but there was a big demon. Okay, that sounds interesting. I mean, which demon today? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram. And that big demon, oh yes, you know, Krishna just killed him in a snap. Okay, good. 6 rounds, you know, I'm moving along. Only 10 more to go. Let me think of another story to keep my mind sweet. No, it's not about storytelling to the mind that is like a disturbing child. It is about getting absorbed in remembering how amazing Krishna is. It is about becoming captured by his qualities. And then we'll just chant Krishna, Krishna, Krishna in ecstasy. And that's what it's about.